All right, Rabotai, we're in Perek Zayin, if I'm not mistaken. So the Torah tells us in last week's story of the Nevi'im that Vayalu min ha'am shama, they send about 3,000 people to go fight in the Ai. Vayanusu lifnei anshei Ai. And it says that the Jewish people lost that war and they had to flee. Vayakum mehem anshei Ai kishloshim v'shisha ish. So it says how many casualties were in that war? 36. Vayiridefum nefnei ha'shar ad ha'shevarim vayakum b'morad vayimas levav ha'am vayi lemayim. Well, the people were broken. Even though in standards of war, 36 people is little more than 1% of the soldiers, which is not a bad casualty rate. You send 3,000 soldiers, so 36 die. It's not such a bad casualty rate if you're fighting in the American army. But if you're fighting in the Jewish army, even one casualty already is too much. Why should anybody die? You know, in our wars, we have no death rate. We don't work with statistics. If the people of Tzaddikim deserve to win the war, then nobody should die. So when 36 people die in a war, that's considered a very, very big loss. So it says in the Jewish people, their morale turned into water. Vayimas levav ha'am. The people's heart melted into water. They were frightened. In war, it's all about morale. You have to keep the soldiers motivated. So the Pasuk says, when Yeshua hears the news, Vayikra Yeshua simlotav. So Yeshua makes kiri'ah. He rips his garments. Vayipol al panav arza, and he falls to the floor of Aron Hashem, and they put afar on their heads. I understand it. Vayomer Yeshua, aha, Hashem Elokim, what did you do? Lama Ivarta Avir et Amazet Yarden et Torbeda Morila Abidenu. But we would have been better off on the other side of the Jordan. Be Adonai, please God, Ma'omana Hara, Ahare Hashir Afakh said, Olif Tefne Oibab. This is going to be a bad precedent that the Goyim are going to see that we turned our backs to the enemy. We couldn't fight them. The Yishmua Kana'ani, all the Kana'ani people are going to hear about it. V'chol Yosve Ha'ares. And now they're going to say that the Jewish people are vulnerable. And Asabu Aleinu, they're going to surround us. V'chritu et Shemenu Min Ha'ares. Ma ta'asil Shemcha Gadol. What's going to be with your name? So Yeshua is saying it's going to be a tremendous halul Hashem, Borei Olam, if you don't help us here. The Goyim are going to come and take advantage of this. Vayomer Hashem Yeshua, kum lach. Get up. Lama ata nofel al panecha? I answered your prayers. The reason why this happened is Hata Yisrael. Those people have made a sin. Vegam avru et briti asher siviti otam. Vegam lakhu min acherem. Gan ganvu ki hashu samu bichleim and everything. He says, until you get rid of the harem, until you get rid of this contraband that's in your midst, God says, lo osif liot emachem, I will not be with you. Im lo tashmidu acherem mekelbechem. Kum kadesh et haram, prepare the people tomorrow and say, Ko amar Hashem, so say God, Herem bekimecha Yisrael. There's a Herem amongst you. There's ill-gotten gains amongst you. What are you saying?
There's only one person that took it. And he
left. What's your question?
Why does it say? Why is everyone? Why are you blaming everyone?
Were you here last week? The same rabbi that told you that it was one person told you, Ko Yisrael Arevim Zelazer. Mazer, right. V'neknaptem baboka l'shiptechem v'aya shevet asher yelkedenu Hashem yikrav v'mishpah v'mishpah shekedenu Hashem tekrav the batim b'abayt shekedenu Hashem yikrav the gevarim. Make a lottery and we're gonna through process get the family. From the family we're gonna get the shevet. We're gonna get the family from the family. Until we narrow it down to who the guy was. It's going to be done through a lottery. V'ayah nilkad b'chayrim yisaref ba'esh. Otov et kol ha'shelo. Finish. Burn him and burn everything that belongs to him. Because he went against the covenant. Ki avad et berit Hashem. Interesting. Berit Hashem. Although God never said anything about the chayrim. That was Yeshua's takana. God never said anything about the chayrim. But God says that if Yeshua says it, that becomes Torat Hashem. וישכם יהושע בבוק, and he gets up early in the morning, וקרב את ישראל שפטיו, וילחד שבט יהודה. And all of a sudden, the lottery gets יהודה. So he brings all the families of יהודה, and all of a sudden, the lottery lands on Zarchi. Remember the Zarchis? And on the Zarchis, it landed on the Zavdis. The Zavdis, the Egyptian. ויקרב את ביתו לגברים, they went to the men, וילכד את אחן, בן כרמי, בן זבדי, בן זרח. Remember last week we learned about the four hands, the four-handed octopus, quack-octopus. ויאמר יהושע אל אחן, בני, שים נא כבוד להשם אלוהי ישראל, ותן לו תודה, והגן לי מה עשית. That's it, תן תודה, admit, confess. קורם. There's no Miranda Act in those days. You know, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say will be held against you in court. You have a right to a lawyer. You know, nothing. He tells him, right away, confess. Today, if the police would do that to you, the guy could say, he didn't Mirandaize me. You know, he didn't read me my rights. No, there's no rights.
He walks out.
Today, in those days, there's no rights. God said, make the lottery, we got the guy. So he says, ten toda, meaning give confession. ויען אחן את יהושע ויאמר, אמנם אנוכי חטאתי להשם, I did it. Guilty. וכזאת וכזאת עשיתי, it doesn't the whole crime. He's what I tell you, I did it שנער, I saw like a red, nice red scarf, a red scarlet type of shawl. It's still like a robe. He said, I saw some shkalim, I saw some, you know, gold. He gives him the whole things that he saw. He said, what I do, I buried them under my tent. He said, he tells him where it is. So the investigators right away go to the spot. They go check the place. Sure enough, all the stuff over there. Lesson is, you commit a crime, you're going to get caught. You get caught. So they bring it to Yehoshua. They call Yehoshua et Achan ben Zerah. He takes Achan, et Kesef, et Aderet, et Ashon HaZahab, et Banab, et Otav, Shono, Amoro, Sono, Aholo, Kol HaShelo. Yomer Yehoshua, Yehoshua turns to Achan and he tells him, Me Achartanu, Yakorcha Adonai Bayom HaZeh. That doesn't sound like a blessing to me. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not good. I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you, it's not good. It's like you jeopardized us somehow. Achor means you made the waters dirty. Mayim achurim. You dirtied the waters. Hazakobal, you muddied the waters. We'll see what that means exactly, but that's what it means. La'achor, ma'im achurim. You muddied the waters. Gimu oto kol yisrael aben, they stoned them. Ve'yisrefu otam ba'esh, burnt them. Eskilu otam, they stoned them after that again. Gal abanim, they put a monument of stones. Ad yom hazeh. And they named the place Emek Achor. Ad yom hazeh. Till today. Emek Achor. Right next to Punta Cana is Emek Achor. People go there for winter vacation. Emek Achor. Cursed place. And that's it. That became a... That's the chapter, Rabotai. Now we begin the analysis. That's just so you know the storyline, what happened over here. So the Pasuk says, Vayaku mehem anshai kishloshim v'shisha. Gemara says that it was not shloshim v'shisha. The Gemara Sanhedrin says there was one man that was so great, he was valuable like the majority of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is 70, majority of Sanhedrin is 36. And who was that? Ya'ir bin Menashe. And that's what the Pasuk says, Kish Shloshim. My Kish, my like. You say, Shelosha, Shloshim v'Shesh. And now, Mazik Kish Shloshim v'Shisha Ish. So they're ready, all the words are funny. Kishloshim. Say, Shloshim v'Shisha Anashim. The fact that it says Kishloshim Vashish Ish.
Ish is usually someone
Hashuv. That's what it's saying, and Ish is usually one. So it's one Hashuv man that's equivalent to 36. So it even goes even more then. So it's not 1% anymore. It's 1% of 1%. So again, if you're going with statistics, 3,000 people, one guy dies, you did good. But in Jewish wars, that's considered the a terrible defeat, that's catastrophe, to the extent Yeshua is going to rip his clothes for that. Because we lost one soldier. Now, and mind you also what you see who used to fight in the Jewish wars. This Ya'ir bin Menashe is one of 3,000 soldiers, and he himself is valuable more than half of the Sanhedrin. You understand who used to go out to fight the wars? This is not Norman Schwarzkopf over here. These are tzaddikim. Hazak Baruch. These are tzaddikim. These are the highest level caliber of people. By the way, Ya'ir bin Menashe is Gadol Ador. He's one of the Gadol Ador. Those are the guys who said not to go to war. The most righteous amongst the Klais. But what? Because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh, and Achan made a sin, he jeopardized everybody. And who does God take? He took the best of them. So the tzaddik dies for the sins of the generation. Everyone, they say that? You ever go to a funeral, they say, oh, he's a good guy, but he died kapara for the generation. It's a classical case. Ya'ir bin Menashe didn't do anything wrong. But Achan did. So Yeshua rips his clothes. Here we get to the analysis, the botai to the chidush. He rips his clothes. Why does Yeshua rip his clothes? Again, if I don't know anything, if I'm going to read it according to the simple interpretation, somebody just died this morning. I don't need too much analysis on that. He ripped his clothes, and it says he cried. So that's also part of Avelut. I's not related to him. It doesn't matter. The halakha says he can rip for Tamid Hakam Shemet and so on and so forth. So the kiri'ah over here looks very, very natural. It looks very natural, the kiri'ah. Just as natural, if I could bring you to another kiri'ah that looks very natural in history, of Mordechai Tzadik. Mordechai finds out about the decree of Haman HaRasha, Ha'agagi. So what does he do? He goes out into the courtyard of the king, Vayikra Begadav, lets out a bitter cry, and you say to yourself again, why is he ripping his clothes? Who died? Oh, nobody died, but you rip your clothes, you know, on the news. Nothing shocking yet in this behavior. He ripped his clothes because that's what the tzaddikim do. It's like a tragedy is going to come, so they put sackcloth on and the ashes on their head, and they rip their clothes. You understand? That's without the midrash is giving us the secret. When you read it with your raw eyes, you say, okay, rip his clothes. That's not an item to analyze. He ripped his clothes. So we understand why. Nothing to talk. And Achaim come along and say, ho, ho, ho. Mishpatecha tehom rabbah. The judgments of God, they're so penetrating. When things happen in the world, everything is because what goes around comes around. And everything is midah keneged midah. And everything is measured. And a person will not have to suffer unless that's calculated, that suffering, even if it's a minute suffering, has to come to him. And everything is calculated to the last degree. Nothing is random. Nothing is, you know, haphazard. All the tzad that a person goes to is to the T. Just like a person cannot be sick for one day more than was decreed on him. And once already the sickness is supposed to end, boom. Next day he wakes up, he feels fine. What happened? What I said, it's supposed to last 200 hours, 14 minutes, 13 seconds. That's the gezerah. Once that time passes, it's going to get better. Everything is, and there's a kabbalah. God will tell you, you know why 200 hours? Because Adam ben Gimada, that's why he got the 200 hours. Why the 14 minutes? Because everything can be explained. Now let's go back to a story that we learned already in last week's parasha. You forgot about. I'll remind you. We have a chumash. Beautiful. We don't need mikraot gedolot. Actually, this is good. So there's an incredible story that we learned. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. All these parashiyot are all connected. They're all connected. They're picking on Gary, poor guy. So the pasuk says over here, the brothers. Yosef says, fill up the amtahot, fill up the satchels of the brothers. They seem kesef ish befi amtahato, and put their money back in their bags. Ve'et givi'i givi'a kesef and my goblet. Tasim befi amtahat katon, put it in the small one's bag, Benjamin's bag. They did it. Vayaas kedbar Yosef asher diber. Who did that, by the way? It says Vayah, so it wasn't Menashe and Ephraim, it was one of them. So that to be Menashe. Okay, Azak Baruch, that's all I want to know. So he puts it in there. Him Yatzu, they start to leave the city. Yosef Amar, La'ashir al Beto, that's Menashe. Kum redof ahare anashim, go run after the folk. V'saktam, and catch them. V'matalem, lama shilantem ra'ata hatova. Why you do that to me? I did so much kindness to you. I gave you all the food over there. And this is what you pay me back? And ingrate. Hello, azeh shir yishte adoni bo. Why'd you take the goblet for him? He drinks from it. V'yasigem, v'ydaber alehem, v'yomer, lama yidaber alehem. What are you talking about? Why are you saying that to us? The brothers tell us, ben asher, halila la'avadecha ma'asot. Chas v'shalom. We didn't do such a thing. And then they make a kavarom and they say, listen, we returned the money back. Now we're going to steal a goblet. We honest people. We returned the money back on our own. Cashier made a mistake. We returned the money back on our own. Now we're going to take the gavia. We're so sure the guy who's the Gavia there met. And not only that, we'll be slaves. He dies, we'll be slaves. That's what they were certain. You know, listen, I'm not doing that. The one that we find, the Gavia, will be the slave and you can go free. I'm not looking to kill anybody. You following the story so far?
Yeah.
They start now to prove it. If everybody opens their knapsack, they start from the Gadol. You see? Nothing. They get to the youngest one, Binyamin. Oh! The brothers see this, they're shocked. They see the Gavia, shiny goblet coming out of Binyamin. Look at this. What? All the Shevatim. They ripped their garments. Now, Rabotai, this is a ripping a garment on a ruse. It's a prank. Everybody's in on it. Not Binyamin's not in on it, Morris. But it's planted. This is which he just set them up. They didn't really do any crime. You scared them half to death. Now they're ripping their clothes. But the Olam says, those people that were involved in this ruse, they're going to have to pay for causing the brothers to rip their clothes. You pay for that. Therefore, we start. Yosef, you were the mastermind of this trick. Your great-great-grandson is going to be called Yehoshua ben Nun. And the pasuk is going to say, "Vayikra Yehoshua begadav," and then he's going to have to rip it for a reason. Now,
wow!
God says everything will catch up to you. The judgment of God is so strong. Yosef, you caused the brothers to rip their clothes. What do you think? Borei Olam forgets that?
Hashem's wheels of justice—they grind slowly but surely.
And I agree. When you say that story over, you can say Rabbi Mansur agrees. Which means, of course, what else? I'm very patient. Now, I don't know the math. You guys can do the math. How far is it from the Shevatim to Yehoshua? Not that hard to do the math. It's 210 years at least. And then another 40 years. So you're talking 2.5 centuries later. But what? The Hashbon's got to be settled. I mean, how old is the United States? 250 years old already?
Yes.
A little less. Which means, look at the Hashbon. You talk about something from the 1700s. But Olam says, don't worry. Somebody's going to have to pay for that ripped shirt. Yosef, you made them rip the shirt. So guess what? When you read that pasuk, Vayikra Yehoshua begadav, in Shamayim, they write, balance zero, rip up the bill. That's means everything is balanced. He wouldn't have ripped the shirt unless that was already decreed from the Borei Olam to rip his shirt. You understand that the level of justice, that's what says, Mishpatecha Tehom Rabbah. But you can't you remember that? You understand that the level I'm talking about over here?
The whole act came from everybody in Yerkes' family. What was taken was from Ephraim. Who died was from Menashe, and Yeshua had the rib.
Very good. You're hitting. So now what happens? Very good. Says the Gemara even something more stunning. You ready for something more stunning? And this is really Mishpatecha Tehom Rabbah. This is beyond. Mordechai has to rip his clothes. Mordechai comes from Binyamin. Because bottom line, the cup was found in Binyamin's. What do you want from Binyamin? doesn't matter. You were part of it. You were part of it. You were passive. You were then you were a victim of it as well. Ishpatecha te'om rabah. Bottom line, Binyamin, you're part of this act. So somebody's going to, whoever's part of this, it's like Lashon Hara. They say three people get punished. The guy who spoke, the guy who heard, the guy who talked about. What's the guy who talked about? He's in there. Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shcheno. You get stuck in the mess now. They put you in bad association. So Mordechai's ripping. You think he's ripping because Avilut. It's a bill to be paid, the Gemara says. Midrash says. And the Gemara comes along and says, but hold it. Menashe was also part of it. Menashe is the one that planted the Gaviyah. And we never see anywhere that Menashe ripped his shirt. But we do see that God ripped the tribe apart and split them on one side of the Jordan and the other side of the Jordan. Says the Midrash, that's why they got split. Over there, it wasn't ripping a garment anymore. Now already, we split the whole tribe in half. Now, I don't come today to explain you Mishpatecha Tehom Rabah, why Mordechai gets away with a shirt and Menashe, it doesn't enough to rip a shirt. But clearly you see, whoever was involved in the ripping would have to rip later on, or would get ripped later on. That's not going to be. And on that the Midrash says, "V'chol ha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran Yivatru Me'ohi." And anybody that thinks that God's a Vatran, meaning to the penny, to the Agura, you know, those things are just taking things lightly, to the Agura. But bottom line, you caused them sad at the time that you ripped. He compensates them, he pays for the clothes.
They give him five.
You know, it's just like if I go to a baby and I take something from the baby and I cause him to cry, and then after I give it back with a gift, the candy. But you made him cry. You made him cry. The poskim say you shouldn't do that. It's ona'a. So that's the first lesson you learn from Ben Avotai. Nothing goes unnoticed in the Shamayim. Nothing goes unnoticed. That's a big yesod. That's a big yesod. Nothing goes unnoticed. And it's like that for the good thing as well. In this week's parasha, so it says also in this week's parasha, Zvayhi. So the pasuk writes, that they get to this place called Gorena Atad. Gorena Atad. Wherever that is. It's a place. No, that's the other place. That's Emek Achan. Emek, whatever they call it. Emek Achor. It's not too far from there, but. So the pasuk says, Masuk says, "Vayar Yosheva Aretz the Kanani the Eved beGoren Atad." Kanani people, they saw action in Goren Atad. They saw there were mourning. They saw there was stuff going on. Vayomeru Evel Kaved Ze leMisrayim. So they say. They make a statement. They say, "Wow, Evel Kaved." They say, this is a big avilut for Mitzrayim. Bring me the Mikraot Gedolot. What did they say? They made a statement. They said, oh wow, what a shame. This is a terrible tragedy. You know, people say, oh, what a terrible tragedy. What a terrible tragedy. Let's see what the Midrash says on this. ויאר יושב הארץ הכנעני את האבל בגורן האטד ויאמרו אבל כבד זה למצרים. What does she say? She says, not too much. What do the Mefarshim say on this? Evel kaved lemezam. Let's read the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel if he says anything. That's going to be in Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'chamay yatve arak na'ana'e yat ubla bebet idare de'atad u'sharyan ketore harsehon. They did more than just say Evel kaved u'sharyan ketore harsehon. They unbuckled their belts of their robes. Begin ikar de Yaakov, out of the kavod of Yaakov. They said, listen, big tzaddik died over here. They unbuckled their.
Started ripping their clothes.
That's what they did. They did a small act of. That's what they did. A very, very minor act. Rashi says, who's this? Who are these people, by the way? Who's Sihon Ve'og? That's Sihon Ve'og. The Midrash comes along and says, because of this little act that they did, Borei Olam would repay Sihon and Og for the future generations. First of all, they would have a stay in Eretz Yisrael, and they would not get destroyed, and they would have all other nations were wiped out. Sihon and Og continues to be until the times of Mashiach. All because what? Because they went like this. Ah. Oh. Haram. They made a like the rabbi would say, the doctor, correct. So you see over here the exact opposite. Borei Olam says, what did they do in the Baal Seder? They made it what? They unbuckled their sweatpants. You know the sweatpants? They unbuckled the sweatpants a little. They said, haram, we lost the Sadiq. They took off their sweatpants. Borei Olam said, you did an action? That is going to reward, they're going to have a reward forever for that. So you see, it works both ways. Borei Olam monitors every single action of man, ben letov ben lemutav. You want to hear the lashon of the midrash? I'm gonna read you the lashon of that midrash. It's a great lashon. I have the sefer right here. Listen to the language. Listen to the language. Midrash Rabbah Vayechi, Perek Kof. ויבוא את גורן האטד, אמר רבי שמואל בן נחמן, חזרנו על כל המקרא, לא מצאנו מקום ששמו אטד, וכי יש גורן האטד, אלא אלו הכנענים, מלמד שהיו ראויים לדוש כאטד. The כנענים should have been crushed like thorns. באיזה זכות ניצולו? בזכות חסד שעשו עם יעקב. ומה החסד עשו? רבי אלעזר אמר, איזורי מותניהם התירו. They went like this. חרם. They undid their buckle. Resh Lakish amar, kishurot kaftotehen etiru. They had over here a button. They unbuttoned the button. Rabbi Yehuda bar Shalom amar, hiru be'etzba. No, they pointed. And they said, Evel kavel lemitzrayim. They said, look what's over going on over there. V'rabbanan amru, zakfu komatan. Nothing. They saw, they stood up. Moment of silence. You know how they do it, the moment of silence, when Babe Ruth passed away? The man announced, Abotai, please, everybody stand up for 2 minutes, moment of silence. So we make fun of the moment of silence. Say, hey, stay here, moment of silence. Why don't you be Tehillim? Why don't you do something productive in the moment of silence? Don't mezalzel. Yom HaZikaron. כן, גם ביום הזיכרון, לא עומדים, זוכפים את עצמם בשקט כמה דקות. אז אנחנו מזלזלים בהם, מה זה, תקרא משהו, תקרא תהילים, אבל אלו הכנענים זקפו את עצמם. הרי דברים קל בחומר. ומה אלו שלא הלכו לא בידם ולא רגלם, אלא על יד שהראו באצבע, ניצולו מן הפורענות. ישראל שהם עושים חסד עם גדוליהם ועם קטניהם בידיהם וברגליהם, על אחת כמה וכמה. Which means you see over how much the judgment is so precise. What did they do at the end? They pointed. Look what's going on at this point. From that already, Borei Olam said, listen, they showed an act of sa'ar for the tzaddik. That's it. It's going to be recorded in the history books. We would say, you know what? Punish them. They didn't do enough. They didn't do enough. Because we don't know the judgments of God. That's for sure. More than a train station. Now you'll see, they'll name the court they'll have to. So you see over here now, amazing thing. Whoever comes to the Mesidat Yesharim class on Wednesday nights, they would have heard the story that we tell from the wife of the Gaon of Vilna. The wife of the Gaon was collecting tzedakah in the cold nights in Europe, Vilna. And Sammy, remember those cold nights in Vilna? Cold winter nights in Vilnius.
Doesn't even
house. That's Monday night. So now you have over here cold night in Vilnius, and you have the Gaon of Vilna's wife and her friend are collecting money for tzedakah. So they make a ברוך הבא רבנו, וולקם שני מי שבא לכאן ותלמודו בידו. So now what happened, ברוך הבא את רבי פנחס פרידמן נציר, ברוך הבא יבוס מאוד בישראל, and of course חכם ישראלי, of course עלית על כוננה עטרת משה. רבותיי, so the Gaon of Vilna's wife is going around collecting tzedakah with a friend, and they made a deal that whoever passes away first, they'll come to the other in a dream to let them know what's going on in the heavens. It happened to be that night when they were collecting, they were looking for a certain address, and the Gaon of Vilna's wife's friend, she saw the address from far, so she said, oh, she pointed, and there it is. That's what they collected. P.S. The Gaon's wife dies first. And she comes to her friend, he comes to the friend in the dream. That was the deal. But listen, I can't tell you what's going on in heaven. There's a lot of good stuff going on. I can't tell you everything's going on. But one thing I can tell you. You remember that night we were collecting tzedakah, the cold night? Yes. You remember we pointed? You pointed? You got excited? Because yeah, you cannot imagine the difference of reward that registered in heaven. That one act that you got excited and pointed to a different level. What does that teach you? That the levels in heaven, the judgments are so precise. We wouldn't measure that on the scale. You pointed that point. We look at it in the general. You collected the tzedakah, you went in the cold night, you get reward. But even on the extra movement of the finger, so here you see it by the Kana'anim. The Kana'anim, when they came to Goren Atad, they heard that Yaakov Abinu passed away. What did they do? They said, oh, look what's going on over there. There's a funeral. Borei Olam says, you pointed for the tzaddik. Forget it. You were worthy to be destroyed like a thorn bush. Goren Atad, you're going to be saved. You're spared. For what? Because you lifted your finger up. So the Gemara says, Midrash says, Kal Vachomer, when a Jewish person does a chesed with his whole body, could you imagine the reward? So when we say Mishpatecha Tehom Rabba is both ways. Tehom Rabba is on the negative side, but it's also on the positive side. On the negative side, you see it's incredible. You see over here something incredible. Yosef HaSadiq causes the brothers to rip their clothes. Because he ordered the gaviyah. He's the mitzaveh. He didn't put the gaviyah in Benjamin's satchel. He ordered it. And as a result, when the brothers saw it in there, they got scared, they ripped their clothes. Borei Olam says, Yosef, you're going to have to pay for that. Even though you had good intentions and your kabanas, whatever it is, one of your great-grandchildren is going to have to rip their clothes one day. So when Achan now takes some of the spoils, and all of a sudden Ya'ir ben Menashe dies in the war, and Yeshua hears about it, Yeshua rips his clothes. The Midrash says, that ripping is not just he's ripping because somebody died. That ripping is to pay a debt. It's to pay a big debt of 250 years prior because you caused, your grandfather caused somebody to rip their clothes. And therefore you have to pay for it. And the Midrash then says, and Binyamin, you were part of the story, even though you were passive. Your great-great-grandson, Mordechai, is going to have to rip his clothes also. And Menashe, you were the one that did it. Which was, he was the most active in this one. Menashe was the one, you know, Yosef was bedibur. Binyamin was nothing, was passive. But the one that did it, kum va'aseh, was Menashe. Borei Olam says, Menashe, you caused the brothers to rip their clothes. We're going to split your whole tribe. The tribe is going to be ripped in half. Half on one side of the Jordan, and half on the other side of the Jordan. Everybody gets their... you know, they're just desserts. Borei Olam doesn't. That's the Midrash ends. And anybody that thinks Borei Olam just lets things slide. So on this, you know, the Mesilat Yesharim in the first chapter gives one of his famous parables to this. So you can understand how religion works. Religion works very, 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 very specific way. In the first chapter, he convinces us, Mesilat Yesharim, that there's Olam Haba. He convinces you beyond the shadow of a doubt. He proves it. He says that there cannot be another way. There is an Olam Haba, and this world is just a, you know, a corridor or a vestibule that leads us to the Tereklin. Again, if anybody's skeptical on Olam Haba, read the first chapter of Mesilat Yesharim, and he'll convince you beyond the shadow of a doubt that there is definitely something after this world. There's no way you can come out of the first chapter not believing in Olam Haba. It means if somebody comes to you and says, I don't know about Olam Haba, don't answer him. Buy him a Mesilat Yesharim. Tell him, just read chapter 1 and the Fuah Shilema. That's the medicine for that. Because you cannot explain it better than he did. Just let him read the first chapter to make it in English, and the guy will be cured within 5 minutes. That's how convincing his proofs are in the first chapter. But then he says, okay, so Olam Haba is the main item, but the only way to get to Olam Haba is through Olam Hazeh. There's only one route. The route to get to Olam Haba is in this world. There's no other routes. Mars, there's no route. Venus, there's no route. Olam HaNeshamot, there's no route. You got to come via Olam Hazeh. Fine. Why? He said, because in order to get to Olam Haba, you got to do mitzvot. But what he talks about in that first chapter is not mitzvot. He talks about what he refers to as dikduk mitzvot. Hazak. Mitzvot that are done with precision. And he says, why do mitzvot have to be done with precision? Just do the mitzvot. You get a 65. You know, what's the big deal? In a test, you get a 65, you pass. What do I care if I get 100? I pass. So he says an amazing sevara. He says, because look in life. Anything that's valuable, or the more valuable something is, the less tolerance it has for imprecision. hear the rule he says? The more valuable something is, the less tolerant we are in imprecision.
For example.
I'm going to give you the example the other way. And things that are not so important, so they can tolerate imprecision. And as an example, if you went to the butcher shop and you told the guy, the butcher, the guy who cuts the meat, I need 10 pieces of meat. And they say, how thick you want them? 1.5 inches. So, okay, the guy goes in the machine, 1.5 inches. And then he tells you, listen, it's maybe off by 2 millimeters. He says, okay, for a piece of meat to be off by 2 millimeters, 1.5 inches, it's good enough. I mean, the guy who was eating is not going to know the difference between 2 millimeters. Similarly, if you went to the fruit store, the scale is calibrated but it's only measuring potatoes. So, you know, the scale doesn't have to be calibrated to the... So far, you following me?
Yeah, right.
However, if you go to a goldsmith, he also has a scale. His scale over there is so sensitive that if you put one crystal of gold on it, already the scale starts to fluctuate. Why? You put that same dust on the fruit man's scale, zero, 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 zero. Not registered. Because you don't have to calibrate when you're measuring potatoes to such a degree of precision. But when you're measuring gold, so now, since the gold is very precious, you want the scale to be very precise to the nth degree. I'll give you another mashal that you can understand. If a brain surgeon is off by a few millimeters, you can't say, well, the surgery was good, I was just off by a millimeter. Millimeter, the guy's paralyzed off a bit of millimeter. Millimeter in the brain is a miles. It's big. So the more important something is, the more we demand for it to be precise. Rabotai, you remember when you were young, you used to watch the Olympics, and you used to have the skiing, the slalom. Still watch, okay? We stopped. But some people in Hashem are still... So now what happens, the amazing thing about that, about the skiing, is the clock they have on the bottom of the screen. My clock, it has three numbers. 4:22. And if I want to get a precise one, it has the seconds. 4:22, 13 seconds, 14 seconds. This clock over here on the skiing has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 numbers, like pi. It keeps on going. And you see, as the guy skis, okay, 14 seconds, 14.432189. I'm measuring the guy. Because here, you're playing for a gold. You're not skiing in the country for leisure. You're playing for a gold, then we're going to measure you to the eighth number. Because that number over there is a difference. That means the eighth number, if yours is three, and the guy, after he is two, he's going to win.
Even though it's
nothing. What's the difference between the eighth number between three and two? You're right. In regular skiing, it might not mean, but for a gold medal. I'm not going through the whole halachot of the Olympics now. But I'm just telling you that for a gold, we're going to measure on the eighth number. So Olam Abba says the Mishlei Shlim is not less than a gold medal. It's not less than a gold medal. So we're going to measure your mitzvot. You know, so every little extra part of a mitzvah is going to get calibrated on the scale. That's what his point is. But you don't think that if you do an extra, you know, ribbon, don't inconvenience yourself. You did it already. You got credit. No. Every extra item you add to the mitzvah, the scale of Olam Haba is hypersensitive. Understand? That scale catches, and it even catches when a Kena'ani goes like this, which is nothing. On our scale, the fruit scale, that pointing would do nothing. But on God's scale, the scale starts to shake. Now the doctor's going to chime in. Yeah, over time, he made the millions of dollars, I'm sure. You're right. Now, I'm not going anywhere. Correct. But that doesn't disprove what I'm saying. I don't know if you bring a proof for me, you're trying to disprove what I'm saying. What are you proving exactly?
Terrible.
No, I'm not looking to punish people. My point is that the scale of the butcher is not as calibrated, as sensitive to the scale of the goldsmith. That guy's scale must have been really off. That's why he got punished. But we allow it. We're tolerant if you make a mistake on the potatoes, because big deal. But if you make a mistake on the... Gentlemen, don't get so caught up in the mashal, and you're going to forget the nimshal. The nimshal is that in mitzvot, and averot, the same thing. So in averot, when Yosef causes the brothers to rip their clothes, it goes on the scale. To the extent Binyamin, who did nothing, he's passive, but you're there, you're part of it. There's three people part of it: Yosef, Menashe, Binyamin. Which is the scale of God, nothing calibrated, even nothing moves the scale. Just by being party of the crime, the scale moves already. So somebody's going to have to pay for that. So when Mordecai has to rip his shirt 500 years later, Borei Olam says, okay, see that? That's because of you, Binyamin. You made your great-great-grandson rip his shirt. Because on the scale of God, so therefore every single item is kagged. So therefore, the more dikduk in mitzvot, the greater. And that's what happened to one of the guys in the synagogue. I won't say his name. He came to me once after one of these classes, and he says, oh, you think God cares about all these little details? If you missed one word of the Megillah, that's what it was. He had missed one word in the Megillah or something. So he asked me, Rabbi, am I yotzeh? So you're not yotzeh. You think God cares if I miss one word in the Megillah? Being so technical. Boy, Alam's worried about big things because I missed what? One word? One Ashverosh? I said, listen, he said, you got to answer me. I said, listen, I'll answer you, but I don't want to answer you now because you're getting me on the spot. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Let me calculate a proper answer. I'll email it to you this week. It's fine. He says, you have my emails? I have your email. I see him on Shabbat. He says, Rabbi, you said you're going to text when and get the thing. I said, I emailed you three times even. Because I refined it three times. So don't read the first two, read the third version. He said, I didn't get the first two versions to read the third version. He said, you have my email? I said, I have it. jack@soandso.com. He said, no, it's jack.@soandso. I said, I didn't put the dot. He said, well, that's not going to go. I said, do me a favor. You're going to tell me your email cares if I put a dot or not a dot over there? What do you care if I put a dot or not over there? I don't understand. You became such a technical guy. I put Jack at. You know what you create? The emails, it works like that. If you don't put the dot, it's the wrong address. I said, I rest my case. That's my answer. That's my answer. When it comes to emails, then you understand it. Not only that, when we were young, we used to play tennis.
Great.
When we were young, we used to play tennis. There's a big difference between a clay court and a hard court. What's the difference? The difference between a clay court and a hard... I know this story, good. The difference is... You know, I won championships in tennis. Trophies. Yeah, you can believe it. When we were young, that was exercise. So now... The difference between the clay court, besides that after you finish you have to sweep it, that's a tirhan itself, is that you're able to see the ball spot. So when a ball is at the line, very easy to tell if it's in or out. Because the clay, the ball makes a spot. So it's very simple. You go to the thing, you see there's the spot, it was out or in. But the whole game is what? In or out. Now, what are you being so technical for? What are you so technical for? What's the difference? But that's everything in life, by the way. In baseball is a game of inches. The difference between a foul ball and a fair ball is an inch. Now, imagine a guy, and by the way, they pay umpires during the World Series to stand on the line to make those calls. Now, I would say, guy hits a shot, it's 1 inch foul. Give him the triple. One inch foul. It's a World Series game. Don't be like that. You need a little technical. Don't be like that. Get the guy your thing. So it didn't hit the line. It's 1 inch foul. They showed a video. It's 1 inch foul. Give him a triple. I'll eat the guy. No, he gets nothing. Strike. He gets out. Why? So in everything else in life, you understand that it's a game of inches. You understand that there's inbounds and out. But when it comes to religion, then already you say, what do you have to be precise for? Just do it, get it done. But you don't live like that in anything in life. The guy in the restaurant, he gets a steak, he says, no, is this medium well? I ordered it medium rare. Wow, what's the difference? What's the difference? Difference is a couple of... Now when it comes to his food, it's got to be like the bears, just right. And over here when it comes to religion... It's the only area in his life. Imagine the guy hired a painter. The painter does a sloppy job. You don't pay him. So what do you care? We painted the wall, more or less. It's painted. There's a couple of spots over there. What are you being such a... Oh, you make product. Go to Walmart and show them a sweater. And you see all threads coming out of the side of the sweater. The guy from Walmart says, what is this sweater you're selling us? Listen, 99% it's a good sweater. There's a couple of threads coming out of it. I mean, don't be such a picayune guy. I mean, it's a... Walmart's not going to accept such an item. You give me a product, it's got to be perfect. We're not selling IRs. Go sell that to a different store over there. You understand? So everything in life, we always demand perfection. If our accountant is off by a penny, we have claims on him. Hey, where's the penny? When it comes to mitzvot, however, you say, you think God cares about the thing? Just do it better. Pass, do whatever. Get it done. No. And the irony of this is, is Olam Haba is more important than a baseball game and a tennis match and then skiing slalom. So if you're demanding precision in nonsense, so don't you think we should demand precision in to eternity? You know, ball goes in or out, so you lose a match. It's not the worst thing for some people. But when it comes to Olam Haba, if you're in or out, your whole eternity is on the line. So therefore, that's the Mishlei Shanim's lesson of precision. Anyway, what do you learn from this Rabotai? You learn from the Perasha and from the Navi that we learned today. You learn over here from the story of Achan that Yeshua ripped his clothes. What goes around comes around. And you learn from the Kena'anim that just pointed. What goes around comes around. The Borei Olam's scale of Olam Haba is very, very, very calibrated to the highest degree. And therefore, everything is, even the air that flies above that scale is going to cause it to move, and someone's going to pay for it. Someone either is going to get paid for it, or somebody's going to pay for it. Either way, but there's going to be a reverberation down the line. So that's our Navi, and once again, we were able to successfully connect it to the Parasha. I'd like to ask our great Rabbi Friedman that's here. I don't know if the Rabbi heard our recent tape for 2 weeks ago. It was Hanukkah. And the first 6 minutes of the tape, praise the rabbi in front of thousands of people and wished him well. And Hanukkah is the time of the Sodot of the Torah. And we blessed him that he should continue revealing all these secrets to us and to the world. Mm-hmm. And the fans went wild. The crowd was very, very impressed by it. And we bless the rabbi again here that he should continue to, these ma'amarim that come out every week are not... they're not off the cuff. These are a lot of energy and effort has to go into this, and most important, a lot of Si'ata Dishmaya has to go into it to find the right mikorot. And thank God he has it. We pray that she continue to have it. We just ask the rabbi to say a few words.
First of all, a great yashikayach bracha from Rabbi Mentzer is not a pleasure to think. Praise the bracha that initiated Dishmaya by. I always say that when I come over here, I try not to prepare something. I may have to be it. Sometimes I pray just in case I get stuck. But I like to add to the Rabbi Mentzer's holy and inspiring words. So I was thinking, you probably mentioned it in the, in this year. I know you talk about it probably. But I'll add a little bit of twist to what Rabbi Mentzer spoke about the mitzvahs and about the dikdukei mitzvot. That when Yaakov Avinu went to Haran to put down the fundament of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him in his dream Sulam Mutzav Arza V'Rosho Magi Hashamayma V'Yinei Malachei Elokim Olim V'Yodim Bo. There's a lot of Pirushim in Medrash. What does this symbolize, this ladder that Mutzav Arzav Rosho Magi Hashamayma? V'hine Malachi Elekim Olim. They go up and then they come down. Why did they come down? Why did they go up? So there is Arvei Nachal. Parashat Bereishit, he doesn't talk about this, but the idea is an unbelievable idea. We see in the Gemara that, or we see in the Torah, there is mitzvot and there is averot. Mitzvot aseh, mitzvot lo taseh, do or not do. Then we have additions in the Gemara. For example, avodah zarah. Who doesn't know what means avodah zarah? You bow to a eitz va'even. wood and stone. But then we have the mamar from the Gemara, whoever breaks a kli, yehi b'einecho ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. What did he do? He was angry and he broke a kli. It's like oved avodah, because everything begins that way. Hayom omer lo asei kach, machar omer lo asei kach. We also have the Zohar. The Zohar, it's a mamar yedua, but it's in Zohar. Kol ha-ko'es male alav ha-katuv ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. So what is it? Is it avodah zarah or it's not avodah zarah? If it's avodah zarah, why doesn't it say in the Torah? So he says an unbelievable idea. He says like this: when we nowadays, once it was the king, now let's say the president, if you want to go out on the street, you can go out however you want. You can be drunk; nobody's gonna care as long as you don't bother anybody. But as soon as you come closer, where the president lives, where the king lives, if you come into the city where the king lives, there's a very shamrim. You cannot get in here. You're not dressed properly. You don't act properly. Especially when you get closer to the rechov, to the street that the king lives, there was over there, only the sarim could go in. Now who is talking? When you get into the palace of the king, you got to be up to a par, how you say, perfection. So he says, we see that every year, we should all have Arichas Yom Shanim Toivet, but after 120, to our parents, grandparents, we learn Mishnayot, we say Kaddish. Why? Mishpat Rashaim Begenom, Yud Bet Chodesh, 12 months. What is it every year that we're... It says, every year, the Neshama goes up to a higher Olam. It's endless Olamot. The higher you go, the Midatadin repeats himself. Because in the lower world, it may not seem as an avon. Especially in this world, we have all kind of lisyonot. But as you get up closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, closer to the king, the Midatadin repeats itself and is judging you on small items that supposedly were not an averus. That's why the Zohar says, Kol HaKoes Male alav hakatuv. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them up to the higher world, that the male alav hakatuv is keilu nechshkila aved avodah zarah. I remember that when I was a child and I started learning, and I love to learn, like that's a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And I learned the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu medakdek im tzadikim kechut ha-sa'ara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tzadikim, on every small, he punishes them. And I used to think, and I asked my father, Tata, I said, I don't want to be a tzaddik. I have a dilemma. I want to be a tzaddik, but I'm not going to be a tzaddik. I'm going to be able to get away with something. Over here, every small thing, I'm going to get a bang in the head. And then my poor father tried to wiggle the hair, and he tried to get it. But it bothered me for years until I got to this Arvei Nachal. The Arvei Nachal explains that the tzaddik, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu judging him with Midat Adin? Because he is Ba'olam Hazeh in such a level that we Anoshim Pshutim will be in 100 years after we perish. Because he is already in such a great man. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medakdekim Tzaddikim Tchut Asara, because he's already in the Olam Atzilut. He's holding there. We're going to get there. But how could we mitchazek? The Gemara says, "Gdolat tshuva shemagat at kisei hakavod." So what's the gdolat tshuva? Every mitzvah is magi at kisei hakavod. I'm going to finish with this off. That we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Lech red kishichet amcha." Go down, because your amcha, your nation, They're corrupted. Asulam egel masecha, and they avodah zarah. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get scared. He took down the luchot. He says, "Vayhi kasher karev el machane." When he got close, vayara ta egel umecholot, he saw the avodah zarah. Vayichara, he got angry and he broke the luchot. So the Medrash asks, why did he wait till he got down? The Kodesh Baruch Hu told him already when he was Lamala Bashamayim, Lech Lech Tisha. What did he answer? Im eini ro'e eini mamin. If I don't see, I don't believe. Oy lahem labriot shemeidim asheinam ro'im. I heard, you saw it. Matters. So, but it's still unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the explanation? The explanation is that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he took the Torah, he was in heaven. It was such a world that even Kas is Avodah Zarah. So he thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me they did Avodah Zarah. Probably they got angry. Probably they broke a kli. He says, Daf Lamala. And Lech Reid, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to see that it's not so terrible. Vahi kasher karav el hamachaneh. And he saw that in this world it's an aver as well. He got angry and he broke it. So that's what Yaakov Avinu says. Sula mutzav arza v'rosho magia shamayma. It's avodat Hashem is a ladder. V'nei malachei elekim olim. They're going up. All of a sudden they say, stop. You can't go up. You need to go down. You need the kafara. You need the kaddish from your children. Why? You got angry once. Why did you get angry? You know everything is from Hashem. That's Avodah Zarah. So that's what the Gemara says. Gedolat tshuva. I do tshuva over here in this world. But what's happening in the upper worlds where the aver is much more chamur because it's close to Takbadish Baruch Hu? Gedolat tshuva shemagat at kisei hakavod. If I do tshuva while I'm alive, the tshuva goes from world to world and cleanses all the averis and all the levels of until it gets the kisei and you get pure.
What is? No remnants.
No remnants. Shabbat shalom.
Wow.
Shabbat.
Rabotai, just in conclusion to that great.
That doesn't have to be attached to my derasha. That stands alone. That derasha doesn't need any of my. Oh, ma wa amar Arab. No, tagid ma shum Arab. Maase.
Maase ni yachol lisaper. Saper li al gabay shelo. Bit hakonet.
Kodem kol tazbin anu mi haya Arab.
Hacham Yushua shal Rabbani haya talmid muhak shal Rabbi Yusuf Haim, ben Shai.
Wow.
הוא היה גר בבקה, אבא בסלי היה גר בקומה למטה, הוא היה גר למעלה. פעם אחת החמין שלו נשרף. אבא בסלי בבוקר אמר לאשתו, תעלי את החמין שלנו, חמי יהושע. הוא ידע ברוח קודשו שהחמין שלו נשרף. היו ידידים טובים. אמר, מי יכול לעמוד בעולם הזה אם לא חמי יהושע? דיברתי שבוע שעבר, הייתי בקרב שמואל הנביא במוצאי שבת. דיברתי עם הגבאי שלו, רבי יצחק כהן. הוא מספר לי מה שהיה איתו. כל לילה היה ואליו גורס עץ חיים, גורס זוהר, גורס זה, עד הבוקר. הוא אומר, אני לא הייתי מבין, אבל לא היה נותן לי לגרוס כל לילה עד הבוקר. עכשיו, כשהוא נפתח המיושוע של רבני, זה היה, קודם סיפור ממנו, בששת הימים, 400 פעם יושב בסתר. ישב והפוך באותו לילה, ישב והפוך, הישב ודאי אמר זה, ואז 400 מטוסים אצל המצרים השתתקו.
וואו,
הוא אמר, גם אמר לחמי, חמי זה הבן שלו, 400 פעם אמר יושב בסדר. אבל זה לא זה. בזמן שהוא נפטר, אשתו של רבי יצחק כהן, הוא היה בכותל המערבי רבי יצחק כהן, הוא חזר הביתה, לבית. הוא אומר, עכשיו חכם יהושע היה אצלי בבית, דפק בדלת, ולא היה לו ילדים. אמר לו, עכשיו יוולד לך בן, עוד שנה יוולד לך בן, תקראי אותו יהושע על שמו. הוא הולך לבית של חכם יהושע, רואה שהוא כבר נפטר. איך זה יכול להיות? אדם נפטר? האמת שבחסידות ידוע, רבי ישראל בעל שם טוב, ראו אותו פעם בבית שלו, באותו זמן, ופעם ראו אותו גם כן בבית מדרש. כשהוא נפטר, הוא בא בלבוש רגיל, כמו שהוא לובש חי וקיים, הם מעידים את זה. הוא בא ואמר, חכם יהושע עכשיו היה את זה, ובאמת נולד לו בן, וקרא לו חכם יהושע. הוא רוצה כל שנה, יוצא את חכם יהושע בצריך
הזה. וזה היום.
היום.
אותו תגן עליו. אומר כבודו סיפר שפעם אחת נכנס אליו בן ישחי במוצאי שבת.
כן, זה סיפור ידוע. הוא
הידוע הרבי בן איש חי היה לומד כל מוצאי שבת עם יום הנביא. כך היה מקובר בן איש חי לומד עם יום הנביא. ורבי יהושע שרבני רצו שהוא ילך ויראה שהוא לומד אותו ויגיד לתלמידים, חיפשו איזו שאלה גדולה ככה בקבלה, משהו ככה, משהו טוב, אמרו לו שיעלה למעלה, לעלייה שלו. איך שהוא בא במדרגות, רבי יוסף חיים יוצא אליו, מחייך אליו, רבי ישוע, מה באת לשאול את השאלה הזאת?
הוא לא ייכנס לנוח.
זה התשובה, מחייך לו.
הוא ידע מה הוא נעשה לעשות. רבותיי, in conclusion, just to finish the yesodot that we're saying it today on the dikduk, and then the rabbi is adding that there's unlimited levels of dikduk, because as you get higher in the levels, you know, the rabbis say the famous mashal that if a person's wearing a black suit, so the stains don't show up that much, but if a person's wearing a white suit, so even the smallest stains, they already become magnified. So as a person gets higher in the worlds, it becomes more white. So what was not noticeable, yesterday, today becomes more noticeable because his malbush becomes more transparent. So one time we were visiting in 1982, we used to go visit during Asiri Imit Teshuvah, the Square Rebbe. We really weren't going to visit the Rebbe, we were going to visit Rav Chaim Brim, alav ha-shalom, because Rav Chaim Brim used to be the Shaliach Sibur in Square for the Yamim Noraim. So we used to learn with Rav Chaim, alav ha-shalom, zechus lechem, in Israel, in Yerushalayim. So whenever he came to New York, we would always make a trip it's right outside of Muncie, Square Town, that's Thomas' town, territory. And we would sit with the Rav of Chaim, and he would read over to us Shana Teshuvah and a lot of the things that he told us. Actually, they printed in this was his Torah, like in the book that they wrote recently. They wrote a three sefarim from his Ma'amarim and his Hazam. Anyway, one time when we visited Rav Chaim, he said, "Why don't you go see the Rebbe? You're here, go see the Rebbe." Okay, we go see everybody. Whoever he tells us to go see, we go see. We're not limited. He went into the Rebbe, and he said, "Sit." So it seems Rav Chaim was talking to us about Dikduka Mitzvot. This type of talk. So he said to the Rav Chaim, "What's the nose?" He said, "We're talking about precision in the Mitzvot. Everything you have to be careful." I think he said over there at the time that he was talking about the Mitzvah of Levaya. The Gemara says, the people over there, they took two steps, Levaya, and you see he got rewarded for taking a few steps, something like that. So the Rebbe said that the Gemara says, Le'olam ya'asok adam betorah u'mitzvot shelo lishma. Shemetok shelo lishma, ba lishma. And everybody knows that Gemara. Listen, you can't start off lishma. Start off shelo lishma. Go to shul because of your friends are there. Over time, you're going to end up going to shul because it's the right thing. To a child, you can't tell a child, go to shul to pray to Borei Olam because you need to have divikut. What is a kid not for divikut? You have to tell the kid, go to giving out candy, giving out ice cream. Okay, shelo lishma. But over time, he goes for the right reasons. So the Square Rebbe asked, so why does the Gemara say the word le'olam? He said it should say, "Batchila ya'asok adam b'torah mezot shelo lishma, shemetok shelo lishma ba lishma." It's only in the beginning. Was it le'olam ya'asok adam b'torah shelo lishma? It's not le'olam. It's the beginning. So he said, because every day a person is growing. So now that you're on the higher level, when you look at yesterday's avodah that you thought was lishma, on today's level it's shelo lishma. So therefore, le'olam ya'asok adam b'torah mezot shelo lishma means your service should always be getting higher and higher and higher, and therefore, always when you look back, you say, "I thought yesterday was good compared to what I know today. That's shelo lishma." And now you say, "Okay, but today's what? Oh, today's lishma. Today I reached it." Then you come the next day, and you say, "My gosh, I thought yesterday I knew what I was doing. Because every day you recognize the Creator on a higher level. So the rabbi said, the closer you get to the palace, so the more dignuk. So therefore, that's the way of the Gemara saying that you constantly have to be a shelo lishma. That means you're continually growing. You're constantly being judged on a higher scale. The scale keeps on has to becoming more sensitive, where they say, listen, on the fruit scale, that's considered lishma, but now it's a gold scale. The gold scale is considered shelo lishma, and then you go to a higher level until you reach the madrigal. Mustafa Ovea. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen. Yadid Torah ve'yadid.
Amen.